All right, welcome back. This is the first Fun with Flagstick for the year. We are going to mix it up a little bit, 2018. We're getting ready for the PGA Merchandise Show this week, which means have a little less editing time for videos. So we're going to tackle this by audio and turn this into a little bit of a podcast, but I hope you enjoy it still. Joined by our good friend Rich McLean, who is up in warm Ottawa. How you doing today, Rich?
I'm good. Things are... At least we got this, a little more sunshine here now, but it's still pretty cold. But
not quite golf weather yet.
And any weather that's not golfing weather is too cold, right? So
I hear you. Unfortunately, I have to tell you, I will be playing some golf probably on Sunday. You can hate me now.
No, I'm envious. I mean, it's always I've been to the show before with you guys a couple of times, so I know what it's all about. I know you're playing golf, but you're also you're super busy. Trying to keep up with, all the new stuff coming out and catching up with all the old manufacturers, reps and stuff that you meet. I mean, sure, it sounds like a lot of fun, but being there myself and watching you guys work it, it's a lot of work, and your feet are sore at the end of the day, and you got your work cut out for you.
Yeah, we can talk about that a little bit more in a bit, but it's certainly probably the busiest week of the year and one that's somewhat exciting. As we know, we're already into a couple weeks into the year already, and I guess that means we've already watched some golf. Have you been watching the PGA Tour so far this year?
Yeah. Caught Kapalua, caught some of the Sony. Kapalua was fun to watch, just to watch some of these guys just bombing the ball all over the place because of the elevation changes. And Sony was a little bit more boring. I mean, it's a totally different course, right? It's Wiley, which is a lot flatter than Kapalua, but some exciting golf. It was fun.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about Kapalua, obviously Dustin Johnson sort of dominated there, and being as long as he is, it made the downhills and the yardage, which is normally pretty easy to handle for every golfer, but that made it even more dramatic, I guess, for him. I mean, 433 yard drives that are almost going in the hole. I mean, any particular thoughts on that, or it's more golf course than just player?
Yeah, I mean, that golf course always plays fast. I mean, they did have some rain, but just the amount of elevation change, you're going to get those balls going everywhere. So we caught one in the middle of the face and got it to go 6 inches from the hole on a 430 yard hole. I mean, it's great grill room talk, and but it's heartening to see a guy like a smaller guy like Brian Harman keep up and play a really good precision game as well. So, it's all is not lost for the shorter hitters out there.
Mark Kalkavecchia, I guess, in some tweets afterwards when people were questioning the distance and whether it was good for the game and, players hitting it 430 yards. But, he really, I guess, hammered it home in the fact that, he had played it not too recently and pretty much had almost driven the green himself. And, he's a Champions Tour player. So it might have got exaggerated a little bit there. I think he averaged 92 yards into the greens. Now, when you think about that, everybody sort of freaks out and says, oh, wow, he's out there and he's only averaging 92 yards in the green. But when we look at it as far as overall for the year, last year he averaged 155 yards into the green after a drive, which was second on tour. And that number, and I researched it this week, has not changed since 2005 when the tour started to keep that average. Scott Hend was actually 152 into the greens back in 2005. But overall, the longest players are normally around 155 yards left into the green, or have been for the last 13 years. And the average player on tour, around 70th, let's say, as far as on the money list, is still around 171 yards into the green. So maybe the golf course, obviously, and the conditions made it look a lot different than it actually is.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's all relative. He's not the only guy out there that's dominating, right? He's not running away with everything. And there's a heck of a lot of good players out there on tour. And it's fun to watch that these guys are the best in the world and they can hit the shots. I mean, it's not they're not getting all these they're getting breaks, but I mean, they're not they're not doing it that much differently, like you said, than the guys in the past. I mean, they're still hitting the ball from point A to point B. So it's all relative.
Now he takes his game to Abu Dhabi this week. I mean, we can go back and talk about the Sony in a little bit. Well, actually, you know what? We'll touch on the Sony briefly. I guess there's not a lot to talk about from there. I mean, you know, it did end up in a playoff with Patton Kizzire and James Hahn, and it was a lengthy playoff. It was 6 holes, and, you know, it was great, Patton Kizzire, to get his second wind already in the year, but it probably wasn't the story of the week. That might have been a little surprise for the players waking up on Saturday morning. What did you think about that particular incident?
Yeah, that must have been kind of freaky, waking up to a missile warning with all the political talk that's been going on these days between U.S., Russia, and North Korea. I can imagine a few guys were a little taken aback. Thankfully, it turned out to be nothing. They played through it, and people got on with their lives, which was good. And then Sunday, obviously, another wrinkle with the technicians and cameramen and whatever going on strike. So it was definitely an interesting week in Hawaii for golf coverage.
We probably saw a lot more blimp coverage than we might see for the rest of the year. And kudos to crew members like Jerry Foltz, who, usually is a man out in the fairway and actually jumped up and worked a camera. I mean,
it's pretty funny
to get the broadcast out there. And I guess people should be really thankful that the broadcast was there to watch in the first place, and then maybe be a little bit more appreciative as far as what it takes to put together a big crew to put together one of these broadcasts. It's not easy to do.
Yeah, it's a huge undertaking. Any of us that have been lucky enough to be at a tournament, like a 4-day professional tournament, and see behind the scenes it's not just the guys in front of the cameras that are doing the work. It's probably 3 to 4 times more than them, or 5 times more behind them in the trailers, behind the cameras, doing shot link, all that neat stuff that keeps us up to date on what's going on out on the course.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the hardest sports to cover from a technical sense. I mean, you're covering a field of play more than a couple hundred acres, and multiple camera angles, and you don't know where all the action is. So, like we said, kudos to them for actually pulling it off, and to Patton Kizzire as well for getting the win, and then and for keeping a bunch of us up extra late on Sunday.
Exactly.
And staying up late, I think chances are we might be up late this week. We'll get back to that. Abu Dhabi is on this week, which obviously has a star-studded field. While the PGA Tour is playing the Career Builder Challenge, the old Bob Hope tournament, a lot of the premium players from around the world are going to be in Abu Dhabi. DJ has made the trip over there. Rory's getting his season underway. There are a few other players that are in Singapore, like Sergio, for an example, but we're going to have a lot of the players in Abu Dhabi. Will you be staying up to watch some of that coverage?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a good tournament to watch. Lots of shot value. It's desert golf. Even though it's not North American desert golf, it's still desert golf. So you get a feeling of the different kinds of shots they got to play and the different kinds of conditions they deal with over there, whether it's wind or it's super hot. It's fun to see that kind of game too.
Yeah, and I guess we'll see the twist face gang with Rory and DJ taking on the field there. I mean, obviously, DJ played well at Kapalua, extremely well. So we'll see if he can carry it through there. And obviously, Rory has said he's going to play a lot this year, but we'll see how.
Yeah, something like 30?
Yeah, so we're going to see how the season started, which is great for us from a golf fan perspective. I don't know about you, but anytime Rory is in the field, I'm certainly there watching. I have a great admiration for his game and his character as well. I've been fortunate to do a couple of interviews with him over the years, and he's always a very honest and interesting interview. Yeah, that should be a good one to watch, and we'll see how those two go head-to-head and how they are able to bomb it off the tee and see maybe how TaylorMade can twist that into some of their marketing. See what I did there?
I see what you did there. Yeah, that was good.
When we head out on the tours, obviously the web.com got it started in the Bahamas. They obviously dealt with the same strike issues as well with the Golf Channel, but they had some interesting things. They actually finished today. We're taping this on a Tuesday, and they started on a Saturday. Yeah, Saturday, I guess. Yeah, Saturday, which was really, really odd. But they have another week left to play in the Bahamas. They get a little bit of a break for a few days, and then they'll start at the Bahamas again. Adam Svensson and Albin Choi were the top Canadians there. Albin was in the mix for a while, but they both slid back into a tie for 13th. Not much to really talk about there as far as the web, but we did have some other golf we were watching, and it was a little bit with the Champions Tour. Were you watching that one, the Diamond Resorts Invitational?
Yeah, it was kind of neat to watch too and see some of these Champions Tour guys out there that you haven't seen in a while, and also watching some of these really good sort of celebrity tour guys, a bunch of guys that do the celebrity circuit, but they're actually really decent players, and ex NHLers, ex baseball players, and what have you, and guys that can really get the ball around the golf course too. So it was fun. Yeah,
and a tennis player as well. Obviously, Marty Fish ended up winning that one on the celebrity side of it. On the pro side of it, it was Scott Parrell who ended up winning. He was obviously not a big known quantity to a lot of people, but he obviously played very, very well. Within that field, though, there were four LPGA Tour players, and the one that finished the highest was our own Brooke Henderson from Smith Falls. She also had to play from the same tees as all the players. She was playing from 66-75 at a par 71, which is the same as the Champions Tour players, and tied for seventh. How impressive was that?
Yeah, she held her own, but you can just see it, and there's a quality in her game. She's just such a good ball striker, and she's got that X factor, that real determination. You know, she likes to bear down, and she's not one of these players that will sort of shrink from a challenge. She sort of doubles down on a lot of shots, but still keeps a smile on her face. So it's a lot of fun to watch her golfing around with these guys.
Yeah, the tour calls that a challenge season event. So it's not an official Champions Tour event, but there was a good purse for the pros. I think it was $750,000 for the pro side of things. That should give her some confidence heading into the start of the LPGA season in a couple weeks down in the Bahamas, the Pure Silk. And the other side of that as well, which was pretty interesting, was the fact that she beat four major champions in tees. Now, granted, they are senior age players, but anytime you beat the likes of a Mark Calcavecchia and a Nick Faldo, we'll throw Larry Mize and Mark Brooks in there, but to beat Nick Faldo, who's a six-time major champion, that's a little feather in the cap for Ms. Henderson, I'd say.
I'd say too. Yeah, no, it's again a confidence builder. It doesn't matter who you're playing against, man or woman. It's always nice when you can play well and make a showing for yourself. And yeah, like you said, hopefully it gives her some confidence to hit the ground running here next week and throughout the year.
All right. Briefly, like I said, the Career Builder Challenge this week. Who knows when this podcast comes out? They might be underway as far as play, but we've got a number of Canadians in the field, including Mike Weir, who's back playing in that as well. Unfortunately, Graham Dillette pulled out as he's working still on his back. He had a procedure on his back, and he's still not fully recovered. But we should have some action there. And Adam Hadwin, of course, had his 59 he shot there last year. So we shouldn't ignore that. And while it might not be as difficult of a golf course as maybe Abu Dhabi is, that'll be entertaining as well. Are you going to be watching any of that one?
Yeah, I'll check in on it for sure. I want to see how Mike Weir is going to do. He's obviously, he sounds like he's got a good mindset right now. Seems to be playing pain-free. So I'm looking for him to get the ball around and see what he can do. I mean, as long as I think he's in the right position right now where he's just sort of keep your expectations reasonable and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, he wasn't too off the mark last week on the European Tour. Austin Connolly made the cut in the European Tour event that was last week, but Weir missed it at 73-73, but he's not too far off with his game. So hopefully getting back to familiar ground, a place that he's won before, will be good for him. Big thing obviously coming up, as we mentioned at the top of the podcast, is the fact that we've got the PGA merchandise show coming up, which means one big thing is that it's about new equipment introductions, and a lot of them don't happen at the show, but a lot of them are prior to the show, and I can guarantee you the avalanche of my email that's coming along is insane even today. And I do still have a number of embargoed products and press releases and so forth sitting on my system. But like you said, you've been to the show before. Are you thinking about any particular products or anything that are coming out, or has anything caught your eye really in the last week or so? We've had a number of introductions from TaylorMade, Ping, Callaway. Anything caught your eye so far?
I'm going to sort of go off the map here a little bit. Lynx Golf is going to reintroduce their product line. They've got a 6-year thing going so far in the UK. They bought the naming rights, I guess, back from Dick's Sporting Goods in the US. So they're ready to start rolling in North America. They've had a couple of interesting communications with them just through Twitter, and it looks like they're positioned to get things rolling. I think they'll take it easy, but I think they know what they're doing. And I've seen some of the product that they've come out with, and it looks pretty decent.
It will be interesting to see who they can pick up as far as accounts. I don't know if we've got confirmation yet whether they will be available in Canada. I don't know. Did you that communication with them at all, or any mention of that?
No, they haven't said specifically Canada, but I'm assuming that the U.S. will hopefully dovetail, at least give us a chance to get some of the product here and give it a try. But, you know, I think they're taking it sort of one market at a time. It sounds like a family-run type business that they're coming from in the U.K., and they're sort of very grassroots-oriented and really want to take it seriously. Yeah, who knows? We'll see them in Canada, hopefully. Looking forward to it. They sound like a good group.
It'll be interesting to see, I guess, how much weight that brand still has with a lot of people out there. Obviously, you know, when I saw some of the products for 2018, I posted a few of them on Instagram and quite the reaction to it, and mostly very nostalgic. A lot of people talking about, you know, clubs they had played in the past, make them interested or, you know, seeking them in the future. Who knows? But at least there seems to still be some familiarity with a certain part of the market with them. So that'll be interesting as well. Anything else that you spotted, or Lynx was sort of the big one that jumped out at you?
Lynx, yeah. And Snell's got their two new balls coming out to market. They just made an announcement in the last couple of days. They've got their MTB Black and MTB Red. So they've sort of split up the MTB ball, and they're going to leave the black as a 3-piece and the red as a 4-piece now. So sort of stretching out that sort of primary ball, secondary ball market like Callaway and Titleist have done.
And Dean Snell obviously, you know, has a great heritage in the game designing golf balls for other major manufacturers as well. So certainly that should be interesting. I mean, you know, there are some, I guess there's some actual design pedigree in them. Unfortunately, there are a lot of products out in the market that, you know, in the lower price point, which or maybe is just a ball sort of picked off the shelf, you know, built in a foreign country and sort of rebranded, not really any design emphasis on it. So they certainly set themselves apart there. So, yeah, you're right. That'll be interesting to get some of those out and try them out. And I know there are going to be a few more golf balls that we're probably going to see at the PGA show next week. I am under embargo for several of those, but he will definitely see them there. And they're going to be interesting. I really think in the market for some of them that we'll see coming out. And I think they'll be significant for a lot of golfers out there. Golf balls is not a huge category where you see a lot of introductions every year, but it's always interesting when they do come out.
Yeah, I'm expecting my Twitter feed to start getting really busy starting on Sunday, Monday, and through the week. So, and I expect I'll see a number of tweets coming from your direction regarding new products and stuff. So it's going to be fun. It's Disneyland for golfers, basically, is what it is right now, or Christmas time kind of rolled into one.
That is for sure. I mean, some of the product already out, like I mentioned, Ping, the new G400 Max driver, the G700 irons, which just dropped the last day or so. Very interesting. Did manage to get a preview of those products last fall at Ping Canada offices and been sitting on my hands since then. I'm not able to talk about them, but, you know, very impressive. And Ping's very much an engineering company, and they're not somebody that really brings product out with just, you know, plain hype. They want to fill in a certain category. And that G400 Max is their fourth driver in the G400 series, and it's a 460 model and a very super high MOI, and I think that's going to be a significant driver in the marketplace for 2018. Obviously, the M3 and the M4 from TaylorMade have been getting a lot of attention, and today as well, Callaway brought out their Rogue drivers, which there are three of those, and they're pretty interesting too. Any of those sort of catch your eye, or something you're looking forward to testing?
Yeah, that Callaway, just to looking at the sole of the Rogue driver, man, that's, there's a lot of technology tucked underneath that club. Lots of cavities, lots of different angles, lots of bars, and then they've obviously they've introduced the jailbreak now into the fairway woods as well. So yeah, it's going to be fun to see some of that stuff.
The three wood, I happen to have one in my hand the other day, and the shape is really pleasing. Their fairway woods are now a bonded product, so they don't have an adjustable hosel. But as you said, they do have the jailbreak technology, and they do have a great shape to them, which I think will make them very popular. They're out in two editions. They're a regular Rogue fairway and then a Sub-Zero model as well. In the driver, obviously they've carried through the jailbreak technology from last year, which is the titanium bars behind the face. This time around, they're more of an hourglass shape, and they've sort of shaved some weight out of them and to put head. So the biggest story, I think, for the new ones is that this is a different shape. It's a 460 head, a little longer, a little flatter, which when you sit it down, it definitely looks different than the past product last year. Does not have a movable track weighting, but certainly a much higher MOI, which I think is really the magic juice for that driver, because I really liked the driver last year off the center of the club face. It performed very, very well, but it didn't quite have as much forgiveness or at least protection of that speed off the heel and toe. And I think this new model will sort of take care of that a little bit, sort of in the same mold as that G400 Max, just that bigger platform. So I think some golfers will definitely have some interest in that.
Yeah, it's interesting. You're seeing a lot of manufacturers working as much as they can within that allowable envelope that the rules allow, and stretching that MOI out as far as absolutely possible. So trying to make as forgiving a club as possible within the limit.
I mean, hard goods, again, will be a big story at the show. Soft goods as well. I don't spend as much time down in the fashion and apparel area of the PGA Show. It's an interesting world when you get down there. Certainly footwear, I like to delve into that and see a lot of that. I've got some appointments with some different footwear manufacturers, most notably we got next week. I have a ton. I think I've got Adidas, I've got FootJoy, I've got Skechers, there's a whack of them that are coming out, and some really good stuff. And actually I did get a sample of the FootJoy Tour S this week, and that's a new model coming out from FootJoy, and I didn't really know a lot about that. Were you familiar with the Tour XPS?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't get a chance to wear it, but I know some guys that I've played with on occasion that did buy them, and they said they loved them. So
yeah, it was more of a stable platform shoe. I mean, there's been a lot of lightweight, sort of mobile, flexible shoes in the last little while. The new Tour S is one that's more all about stability. So it's got a pretty solid platform to it and, you know, a little bit of a comfort top to it. So that'll be an interesting product for FootJoy. Adidas, I'm still waiting to hear a lot about some of their stories. So we'll see that next week. Yeah, so let me think what else. I don't know. I'm going to have some interesting interviews from down there, that's for sure. So if people are listening to this and want to follow along as far as Instagram on our webpage at flagstick.com, Twitter feed as well, we'll be trying to broadcast as much content as possible. I'll be vlogging every day as much as possible. I did 6 individual vlogs last year, and I'll try to put together a little bit of a film each day with some highlights. So hopefully I pull that off, and if I manage to get some sleep.
Yeah, really. Who's the rest of the crew going with you?
It's just myself representing Flagsticks. That's it. I am traveling with Derek McDonald from the Marshes. We're just traveling down together and rooming. He'll be busy with a bunch of teaching type of things. I am going to go to one major teaching conference. It's called the Open Forum, which is usually about 8 or 9 hours of education. So I'll be doing that on the Tuesday afternoon and evening. Be attending a number of things like Canada Night. I'll honor the award winners for the PGA of Canada, our national award winners, which two of those happened to be from Eastern Ontario, in Matt Robinson from Rideau, who was the Teacher of the Year, and Kevin Heem from Kanata, from the Kevin Heem Golf Center, who is the Junior Leader of the Year. And I think I am going to maybe a little dinner afterwards with Kevin and Lisa and a few other people to help celebrate that.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, Kevin's done a lot of really good work on the junior side of things, and he deserves some kudos for that, because in a lot of areas that seems to be sort of the forgotten demographic, and he and Lisa put in a ton of work on that side.
So that should be fun. As far as interviews and things are concerned, I think probably some of the more interesting ones, I've got some time with a number of people. Bob Vokey, who may or may not have a new product, our Canadian Golf Hall of Fame member, which I always enjoy any opportunity to get some time with him. I'm really looking forward to that. He obviously was inducted in the Canadian Golf Hall of Fame last summer, and it's always good to catch up with him, whether there's new product or not, just a chance to pick his brain. Jamie Sedlowski, two-time world long drive champion. He also won two world junior long drive champions, who's playing now, and he'll be representing Cleveland Golf down there. He just signed a contract with them, so he's going to do an exhibition during the demo day, and then I'm going to get a little bit of time with him afterwards to chat about a few things.
Signed a clothing deal too, didn't he?
He did, with Matt Gray, which is the House of Gray, as it's called, and it's the same apparel maker that has a deal with Ollie Schneiderjans. And so he doesn't have any status on any tour right now, but he's looking to try and do that and pursue the game as a touring professional. So we'll get a chance to chat with him down there. And then Monday, speaking of long drivers, on Monday, I get some time with another friend of ours, a friend, we'll call her a friend of the show. How's that? Lisa Longball of Luswick, 8-time Canadian long drive champion, bundle of energy. We're going to play at the Accra Golf Day at the Orange Tree Golf and Country Club. So that should be interesting. I'll definitely have to do some videos there.
That's always a good time. I'm expecting the usual number of selfie tweets during that round. So I remember the ones from last year. It was pretty fun.
I think there might have been a back round off backflip something last year, which is kind of her
signature
move. Did that in one of the fairways when she sort of outdrove all the boys. Looking forward to that. Also, some other people are going to catch up with that day. Obviously, the crew from Accra True Temper Plus, who put on the day, which is a fun day. There'll be some other key people there as well. Ian Fraser, who runs Tour Experience Golf out of Toronto. Hoyt McGarity, a big part of Mura Golf right now, and their group of doing a bunch of different things. Of True Spec, a big fitting group. And the thing is, the whole show, it's a packed week. See a lot of people down there. It's just the world of golf coming to one place for 1 week, and it makes for a special week.
Just going back in my memory, just amazed at the amount of square footage there, and like you said, the number of people that you maybe only see them once a year, but you sort of pick up old conversations right where you left off, and it's kind of neat that way. So it's a big community, but it is a fairly close community too, because you guys talk to each other and email and stuff all the time. So yeah, it's fun.
I think this is show 26 for me, which is hard to believe. I must have started going when I was 5, right?
yeah, that's it.
I wish that was the case. That is not the case. It was certainly before gray hair, but I'll deal with it. That's all fun. Like I said, we're going to get some golf in down there as well, which we'll probably do some videos on. Working on a couple of destinations to get to right now. I can't really say yet because I don't want to jinx it, but I got a special destination lined up possibly on the Friday. If I pull it off, then we'll have some video and photos, and maybe we'll share that in a future Fun with Flagstick. Anything else catching your attention this week, or are we pretty good?
South American amateur. Chris, yeah, he wrapped that up today. Really convincing victory for him. So congrats on that. A big win. Anytime you can win a national amateur championship, regardless of where it is, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, here's a kid. I watched him a little bit a couple years ago at Royal Ottawa during the Canadian Amateur. He was in the mix there for a little bit. Really talented. He stayed in Canada, played at Simon Fraser University, and unfortunately, his mentor, Harry White, passed away just a few weeks back. You know, he dedicated this win to him. Harry was a gentleman who really supported golf in British Columbia, and Chris says that, you know, if he didn't have Harry, chances are he wouldn't have been in the game, just as far as providing him opportunity and access to the game. So, you know, you're right. That's a huge win for him. Our Canadian, I didn't see our Canadian girls, how they finished. I'll have to have a look that way. And then last week, we had a nice finish, and we forgot to mention that one. Three other Team Canada members were playing down in the Australian Amateur. They were playing in the Royal Melbourne. Although they didn't have big, big finishes, I think Joey Savoie was the top player. He ended up 10th. He did shoot 64 in the final round, which is an amazing round at Royal Melbourne. I think that was either tied the record or beat the record.
And I think he did set the course record, yeah.
And, Hugo Bernard shot 68 in the final round. And then Josh Whalen from Napanee, Ontario, shot 1 under in the final round. And I did text with him a little bit after it was over and basically said, you know, it was, you know, such a beautiful golf course. And he said, yeah, it was a beautiful golf course, but it was such a beast. And he was just happy to break par for at least one of the rounds. So that was a good way for those three players to finish. And they are underway as we tape this. That was the Master of the Amateurs. I apologize.
That's right. That's now, what I call the Game of Thrones tournament. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And now they are playing the Australian Amateur, and they are over in Perth. They play well there, and it's a good finish there. And I know Josh mentioned to me that he'll be then coming back playing, I believe, in the Jones Cup is lined up next for a number of those players, which is down an event down in Georgia. But so far, so good for our Canadian amateurs in how they're doing around the world. We had one other one of the Team Canada members. She was home, actually, Grace St. Germain from Ottawa. I just posted an interview I did with her a few days ago up on flagstick.com and on our YouTube channel. That is there as well. We just had a little chat about her fall season. So that's another one of the Team Canada members. People want to go and check that out. All right. Well, I think that wraps us up for this week. Like I said, went with a podcast this week because we won't have all the time to do the video edits. But hopefully people enjoy this and be sure to catch our coverage, or at least my coverage, down from the show. Just give us a follow on Twitter, check on flagstick.com, and check out our YouTube channel, Instagram as well. And we look forward to sharing that PGA show. And then I look forward to discussing it with you, Rich, when we get back.
Looking forward to my Twitter feed blowing up and seeing you guys letting us in on all the new secrets that are coming out from all the manufacturers. You know, as I said before, it's Christmas in January for a lot of us up here, and we appreciate the hard work you put in over the last 26 years going down there. So have fun and don't wear yourself out.
Well, I will certainly try. And one last thing, I mean, obviously people know at Flagstick, but give us your Twitter handle in case people want to interact with you as well.
Absolutely. It's at Lobwedge.
Perfect. All right. So people, if you want to have some conversations with Rich, maybe I won't be available next week as much during the PGA show, although I will be tweeting a lot. I may not be available to have a lot of conversations, but I'm sure Rich will dive in and maybe help out as far as answering some questions and things. So, all right. Thanks everybody for listening, and look forward to returning with Fun with Flagstick in a video. And who knows, maybe we'll do some more audio as well in the future, but we'll catch you on the other side of the PGA show week.